Hey everybody, welcome back to Awkward Fist Bump Productions. We got a special guest today. If you watched the show Dog the Bounty Hunter, you will remember Tim Chapman, who was Dwayne Dog Chapman's right-hand man. We were able to get him today. This is the first interview he has granted since 2007, and he granted it to us here at Awkward Fist Bump Productions. I hope you guys enjoy it. Now, a word from our sponsor.
Hey everybody, this is Austin. Subscribe to my dad's channel, the Awkward Fist Bump Productions, the best YouTube in the world.
Hey everybody, this is Mark.
This is Ashley.
And this is Justin.
And this is Awkward Fist Bump Productions.
Boom.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. And once again, we're just happy to make content with you guys. If you guys like our shows, make sure to subscribe, make sure to like, make sure to share. Ever since the Netflix season 5 has come out, we've noticed an influx in subscribers. Also, when we did that video on, you know, just last week on Dylan, we've noticed you guys liked it. So we brought you a great guest today, and today we brought Tim Chapman of Dog the Bounty Hunter fame. So many of y'all remember him. He was Dog's co-partner in crime, if you will. Well, maybe that's not the best word to describe it, but he was his partner.
Solving a crime.
But go ahead, Tim. Introduce yourself, brother.
How you doing? Youngblood from Dog the Bounty Hunter. How's everybody doing out there?
It's good. How are you doing tonight, brother?
Doing all right.
Yeah, that's awesome. So for those of you that are Dog the Bounty Hunter fans, as I said, he was his partner running around just chasing all sorts of bad guys and putting them where they belong. But the one thing, Tim, I enjoyed about your show is it seemed like you guys really took an interest in who you arrested. They weren't necessarily like just a bad person to you. You guys would mentor them. You would talk to them and say, look, in the often cases, we'll rebond you out. We just want you to change your life. So that seemed super cool.
A lot of that had to do with we've been on the other end of it. You know what I mean?
It changes your perspective.
When someone is going to jail like that, some of these guys are looking at 20 years, 10 years. I mean, they got kids, wives they're not going to see. And I do feel for them because who wants to be in that situation? You know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah, I think compassion is good, you know?
Yeah, I think that was one thing that I loved about your show. And after I did my own season of 60 Days In, I will tell you, it definitely made me look at inmates and people that break the law in an entirely different perspective because, and we've talked about that time and time again on this channel, is a lot of them are not necessarily bad people. Now, we also, Tim, just so you know, we believe that people that you know, the murderers, the rapists, people like that, they deserve to be in prison. We're not saying everybody's a good person, but in a lot of cases, you just got people that are fighting addiction. Let's solve the addiction issues.
Sure. And the jails are overcrowded with addiction problems right now.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't be there, to be honest. You know what I mean? They need help with an addiction and make room for a lot more serious crimes, criminals, you know, murderers, rapists, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There's just not much of a place in the U.S. for people to receive free treatment for addiction. It's always like you've got to pay an exorbitant amount of money to get help for your illness. Addiction's an illness. And then pretty much the big solution is, we'll just put them in jail. And that way they're off the streets and then they're not our problem anymore, which helps nobody. It destroys families, destroys lives, and it makes the addiction a lot worse, if I'm honest.
Sure. But if you do have a drug problem, addiction, look up Richie Weber because he can definitely help you get into rehab with or without insurance. So
we love Richie. He's a great guy.
Yeah, and
a lot of people looking for that because I know in Mississippi we get a lot of people out on conditions that they go into a program, but a lot of times there's no insurance, there's no program that's going to take them. There's a couple of programs, but I mean, they do the best they can, but they're very limited resources. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Programs. And it's almost, it's just heartbreaking, to be honest. You know, the drug problem and all these quarantines and everything, it's made it a lot worse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, even more depressing. Turn on the news. You want to get depressed? Just turn on the news and watch.
You know, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Listen to that, and then you get locked down. Nobody's got work. You know, it's tough times right now.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a coffee mug, this guy yesterday on a commercial said 2020. I wouldn't advise it or something like that. You know?
Well, Tim, I got to tell you something. I watched Dog the Bounty Hunter also. I'm a super fan, but I don't want to go on bounty hunts because they picked me to go do 60 Days In as a super fan. But I don't want to join you in bounty. Well, no, I mean, you know, we work in law enforcement, so actually I might. But that being said, Dog and you have both this larger than life character personality on the show. And I'm going to tell you, Justin, about, I don't know, 11 or 12 years ago at the height of Dog the Bounty Hunter fame, Dog had come out with a book and he was doing his rounds and I guess he was signing the books and whatnot. So Justin's like, hey man, let's go up to the mall. This mall in Georgia that Dog was going to be at. And dude, let's go meet him. And I was like, cool, man, I'm game. And so we go to meet Dog and I guess Justin worked his magic. He's like, hey, you know, I know. So he came out to meet us, which was super cool. But when I say you're larger than life, I mean, I never saw you guys stand side by side, but he was like 5'7". And I was like, hey, dude, you know, I was kind of looking down. I mean, he's a lot shorter in real life than he comes across it, on TV. And I was like, whoa, I thought he was like 6'8". So
we used to get that people would meet us and they'd be like, oh, he looks a lot bigger on TV, right? I would just tell people that just makes us a little bit more crazier, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And I will tell you that's true. So for those of you that watch my season of 60 Days In, like that's the fat guy. No, the TV makes us look a lot fatter than we are in real life.
Yeah, I agree. You've seen how mean my Twitter fans are. It's like there was like a hashtag fitness test for cops. And I'm like, I'm 130 pounds. I don't know what to do.
That's funny.
Get a lot of hate for being in there.
Oh, yeah, but they just attack. They it's weird. Like, my biggest hate was I was called a racist because Shanice had celiac disease, and I saved, they said, well, she wouldn't help Shanice with her disease, but she saved the white girl's life, the girl who tried to go over the upper deck and the pod. So I got a lot of really weird hate for that. And then the rest of it was people just calling me fat. And then it was trending Miss Piggy for a while, which was really mean. But Miss Piggy was kind of hot for a Muppet. So I mean, it's just like, well.
But that was the weird thing that a lot of people don't see. And I was actually talking to someone about that today. I was like, you know, even me, I ended my season strong, but I get the occasional, here it is a year and a half later, and I still get the occasional direct message in my social media account. It's like, dude, you were an idiot. And I'm like, well, thank you for thinking about me, bro, because for you to have messaged me, you had to watch a show, number one. Number two, you had to say, gee, I'm going to go to social media. He goes to social media. Then he's like, I got to go look up this guy from 60 Days In. Then he goes and looks me up. Then he's got to go through the trouble of hitting the message, you know, or whatever to message me. And, you know, so, hey, at least you thought of me, you know. So there it is, you know. But you're still doing bounds. Jeez, you're still doing bonds now, aren't you? You're still doing bounty hunting.
I'm doing bounty hunting. Me and Leland work together. I get someone now. I just call him. Everything's done on the computer and everything now. You know what I mean? Instead of grabbing the file like we used to and go banging on stuff, now we just locate them when we go to one door. You know?
Yeah. To make it a lot easier.
Yeah. So you and Leland still work together.
Yeah, I still work together. Well, I mean, I run a bail bond company, so I get somebody that jumps, I'm calling him, right? I mean, I've tracked him down for years, but I was known a lot as the grab guy. I'm the guy that's going to grab you first. when we spot you, I'm the one that's putting my hands on you first. And I had a reason for that, and the reason was because those hands, your hands, are the only thing that's going to kill me. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Mm-hmm. So out of fear, I knew that I had to get your hands under control as quick as possible. You know what I mean? And so to me, it's just once I see somebody, I don't know. And you know, after so much time goes by, I could feel them. I could feel somebody in the room hiding. I can feel them in the back. I can feel their presence when I was close. You know, it's the strangest feeling, but after so much time of doing it, you know, Dwayne, he'll find anybody. I don't care who you are. You run and he's got your file in his hand, your days are numbered. You know what I mean? It could be a couple hours. It could be a couple months. It might be a couple years. But one thing for sure, your days are numbered. There's never been anybody, you know, and I can find them if I really put my mind to it. But I don't like thinking that hard. You know what I mean? I'm trying to call the mom, the sister, the grandma. If everybody starts telling me we haven't seen them, stuff like that, I'm like, Leland. You know what I mean? If I get a couple leads from the mom and stuff like that, bam, I'll grab them. But other than that, I'm like, Leland, man, tell me where this fool is, you know?
So how many do you think that you've actually done? How many have you gone out and actually caught?
I've probably arrested. I've never really counted, but if I had to guess, I'd say probably close to around 5,000. I've been doing this, my first arrest in 1979 when I was 14 years old.
Oh, wow.
Driving down with my mom. And then there was a guy walking across the street drinking a Budweiser beer. And my mom said, I'll be damned. That guy jumped on me. I've been looking for him. I'm getting ready to pay $10,000 because I have a warrant for him. And I said, well, Mom, give me your handcuffs. Let me grab them. I'm 14, right? And she's like, no, you're going to get hurt, right? We were on the way to the bonding office. And she goes, I'm going to stop and call the police at the payphone. I said, he's going to be long gone. I'm like, give me your handcuffs and let me go out and grab him. The guy's like 35, right? I jumped out and she gave me her handcuffs. I jumped out and I ran up and I was very, very firm, right? And I told him, you're under arrest. And I showed him the handcuffs. I told him, turn around, put your hands behind your back right now. And he did. He turned around, he set his beer down, turns around, and he puts his hands behind his back. And I
wish it was that easy for me. I just had to tase a guy the other day.
I feel myself shaking, but as I get him cuffs and he turns and he kind of looks at me like complex, right? And he's like, well, you're not a cop. I said, no, I'm not a cop, man. I'm 14 years old. I'm like, that's my mom over there in the Jeep. I'm like, she's your bond lady, you know? I said, you don't bond on her. And he was like, oh, man. He tried to convince me that if I took one of the cuffs off and let him finish drinking his beer, that I could cuff him again and then he'd go to jail willingly, right? And
no.
Laughed it off. We put him in the back, but that was my first arrest at 14 years old. And all the way to, you know, a month ago, I just didn't arrest out in Mississippi. So
you were 14 when that, how old were you when you and Dog met?
Well, me and Dwayne got the same last name, but we're not blood related. But I met him when I was first 17 briefly because my mom had hired him to do a bounty, but I was too busy at 17 to even care. But at 19, I was hunting a guy down and I found out that this bounty hunter by the name of Dwayne Chapman, I guess I'd met him before they told me, was hunting down the same guy. So I met him that day up at Mary Ellen Bail Bonds up in Brighton, Colorado. And I mean, it was from that time on, Chapman, and we both had a lot in common. We were both Christian, you know what I mean? Even though we weren't holier than thou Christian, we still believed, you know what
That's
I mean?
Right. And, That's right.
We just became, you know, you find them, I'll grab them.
The crazy thing is he actually bonded me out in Colorado also.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I see you did good. I'm glad we didn't have to come find you.
I know it. Yep.
That would have been that would have been a strange twist.
Colorado Springs. I used to love hunting in Colorado Springs.
Oh, man.
It's a lot of fun. There. I was some good chases up there. They run you around up there, but you eventually get, you know, the good thing about once we got famous and we're chasing people, we can drive down the street and people are pointing. They went that way. You know, so that then all of a sudden we got a million eyes looking, you know, helping us, you know, look out. That was kind of interesting.
Dang.
All of a sudden, I go from being a bondsman one day to the next day, you're thrust into so much fame. And I want to say fortune, because there was a lot of fortune, just not for me and a couple of the other guys on the crew, but there was fortune, which I don't really care about. You know what I cared about? I cared about, I captured Andrew Lester in Mexico, who was convicted of 86 counts of rape. That's what I cared about.
Oh, my God.
And he was taunting us on the computer, him and his mom, Liz Lester. They were on the computer telling us, you'll never find us. We're smarter than you. We're richer than you. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, how did it feel to actually catch him?
That story never came out. The real story of the Andrew Lester hunt, we've never told it. We were going to tell it back when we first started filming, but there were issues over who was going to write it and how much we were going to get paid. And there are certain people that are going to get paid more than I was going to get paid that were just going to for doing. I'm the one that caught that fucker. So sorry.
You're good.
I'm the one between me and Dog and Leland. You know what I mean? We all grabbed them together. Mm-hmm. Team effort. But I'm the grab guy. I grabbed that. You know what I mean? As Leland did the leg sweep. But we were facing 25 years in a Mexican penitentiary. In fact, they told us, you're not getting out. 25 years. Kidnapping they were charging us with.
Yeah, it was a big international case. I think, didn't the FBI get involved? And actually, for those of you that don't know, just real quick, Andrew Lester was the beneficiary of the Max Factor makeup line. It was a huge case, and you guys went down to Mexico. The Mexican authorities arrested you, tried to charge you with kidnapping. It was a huge international case that was picked up by all the news outlets. So I'm saying that just so people are like, who's Andrew Lester? Andrew Lester was the son of a billion dollar empire.
Yeah, Andrew Lester had a trust fund coming in every month. A lot of people don't know this, but Andrew Lester, when he committed all these crimes, was Muscle Shoals out in Ventura, California. I was born and raised in Ventura, California, 10 miles away from where this happened. Damn. Andrew Lester went to the same elementary school as my brother did, and I would have went if I would have stayed there longer, you know, and in the same neighborhood that I grew up with. I had a lot in this case because we roamed the same streets right around the same age. You know what I mean? And so, you know, he was out there date raping these women and filming it, you know, and
it's disgusting.
Geraldo Rivera is the one that challenged us. Dwayne happened to be in doing an interview with Geraldo the day that he missed court. And Geraldo asked Dwayne, you're the greatest bounty hunter. Do you think you can find them? And Dwayne said, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And how long did you look? I'm so sorry to interrupt. No, How long did you look?
I would say close to a year, maybe 8 months, 9 months. You know, we had tips coming from everywhere, but we got a tip that was down in Mexico that I knew once I saw these pictures. It was fuzzy pictures from these tourists that were down there in Mexico about 3 hours outside of Puerto Vallarta in this little surfing area. And that was him. I knew it. I knew it was him. And, you know, we went down there, we hit out where there were these little villas, right? We hit out in these villas. I sat because he kept calling on the phone saying he was coming out there because he wanted to buy one of these villas from the people that own this property, this American couple, right? I won't even get into these guys or that story because whatever. But at any rate, so we heard him on the phone. We knew it was him. We knew it was his voice. And he kept saying, he's coming out. I'll be out there today. So I'm sitting in my chair. I'm sitting in a chair in the bushes on this down this long driveway all day waiting for this guy to pull up, right, in the jungle. Never showed up. But what I'm getting at is when I went to jail after we caught him and I went to jail, that night I was in jail, I found out from sitting in that bush for almost a week, I got jiggers.
Oh, man.
And there was nothing I can do about it. You know what I mean? It was crazy.
Dang.
So we got out of jail. Leland told me how to get rid of his nail polish, right? You cover him with that clear nail polish and it killed him, right? They die overnight or whatever. So we went down and they had no clear nail polish. Red. So I had all these little red nail polish all over me, right? Covering all the little finger holes, right? Washing the stuff in the shower.
So I know you went the Mexican jail. How long were you guys in jail in Mexico?
I think a little over 2 weeks, mm-hmm. I think it was. Yeah, they put us in a couple little jail cells to begin with, and then they brought us out to the penitentiary.
Jeez. Where
the courthouse is right in the penitentiary.
Okay.
You know, so they take you right from there to the courthouse, and, you know, they were charging us with kidnapping and all that. 25 years, no bail. You can't get out of jail. There's no bail. And they told us when the judge walks in, don't say a word to him. Don't talk to the judge. You talk to your attorney. Your attorney talks to the judge. That's how it is. Don't break the rules. Well, I don't know if you watched the show, but Dwayne has a gift of gab.
He does.
As soon as that judge walked in, everything was quiet. Everybody stood up. The judge sat down. Everybody sat down. Dwayne's like, Your Honor, Your Honor. Me and Leland are looking at each other like, oh, my God, we're going to jail forever, right? Shut up. We're like, shut up. Dwayne's like, no, I ain't telling nothing. This is my life, not theirs, not his, not theirs. This is our life. He's like, judge, everybody's yelling at Dwayne. Shh, quiet. Dwayne told everybody to hush. He looked at Dog and he told him, come here, sit down. I want to talk to you. Dwayne spent about 10 minutes up there talking to the judge. Came back and looked and said, they're charging us with deprivation of freedom. It's a misdemeanor. We're getting out of jail.
Dang. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
There's a lot that happened. This story has never come out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I thought about getting a hold of Dwayne and seeing if you wanted to put it out there.
Out. I'm ready.
Yeah, put it out on this channel.
Marshall to come. You know what I mean? And there's no way you're going to stop watching it, and you hate if there's a part two. You know what I mean? And you got to wait a week. You know, it's amazing how everything happened. And we just didn't do it. God did it. You know what I mean? That's the whole thing that really nobody really even knows about is the visions that happened. I had a vision for the first time in my life. When I was down in Malibu, and we were looking for Lester. We knew he wasn't at his aunt's house, but we flew down there anyways just to kind of stir up some feathers and stuff. We were knocking on that door and gave her a hard time, but we drove away. We were driving down the Malibu Highway. God told me he was in Mexico. I looked at Dwayne and I said, he's in Mexico. God just told me he's in Mexico.
Dang.
We found him. I had a vision. And when I got to Mexico and I saw where Andrew Lester, I won't get into all of it, but I saw the vision that I had.
That's awesome.
The same exact scene and the same exact vision I had in my head, I saw when I got to Mexico.
Wow. Now,
there's a lot more to the story that people really don't know, you know?
Guys ever want to tell the story, come back here and we will have you. You will get full, unadulterated, however long.
I'll just sit here like this.
Yeah, and we'll sit here like this the whole time.
Tell me more.
Listen, it was a team effort, even with Beth. There was four people that took to catch Lester. And that was me, Leland, and Beth. And if any one of us would have been out of the picture, Andrew Lester would have not been caught. You know what I mean?
Think about how many women, though, and like from the when you arrested him till now that you've saved just from getting him into custody. Like, you've changed the course of so many people's lives.
That was the thing. You know, when we caught him, they pulled his car into the jail where we were. We could see out of our jail cell, and they were showing us. He had his whole rape kit in there. He had his ties. He had his pod. He had a bottle mixed with GHB. Because that was his thing to get the girls. He was Andrew Lester. Hey, I'm the rich. I'm the millionaire guy. Everybody wants me to be their friend. You know, and he waits till the end of the night, the end of the party. Everybody's doing their last shots. Hell. He could be at a party. There could be six guys and six girls. He'd have the guys all pass out too. He'd have everybody. He'd put a drop in everybody's dam, whoever he can get away with. You know what I mean? And he'd drug that party at the end of the night. And he'd go around and rape. You know what I mean?
That's disgusting.
And so by him being in jail, you know what I mean? He was charged with 86 counts of rape. That was three different victims. One was 17. He filmed them all. And they said that one of Andrew Lester's things is he would take something from his victim, a watch, a necklace, a pair of earrings or something from every victim. When they went into his house, they opened up a drawer. I think they said there was over 150 watches and earrings and necklaces and stuff in that drawer. From different things.
Golly.
Well, because of you guys.
No, they were victims.
Wow.
And probably better off.
Because of y'all's hard work, I was looking here. He was convicted and sentenced to 50 years in prison, where he's still serving today.
Yeah, he was sentenced to 126 years in jail. They convicted him even without being there. But when he came back, we filed appeals and stuff like that, and they brought it down to, I guess, 50 years. I guess Leland told me he was out. I don't know if that's true, if he's out or not, but Leland told me he got out a couple of years ago.
In 2016, what? Opponents released a brochure. On both accounts. I think he's still in. It looks like he's still actually in.
What
I could
state?
Be wrong.
You know what I mean? If some, for something like that, you know, you just, there's no place in society.
Nuh-uh.
You know, what state did he get convicted in?
California.
California. Yeah, because it says here he is currently serving. Where did it just go? He's currently serving at Valley State Prison in, and I'm sorry if you're from there, I apologize, Chowchilla, California.
Yep.
Wow. Yes.
I don't know when he's going to get out, or, you know what I mean? I guess everybody can change, but I mean, whew.
But still.
That kind of sickness, that doesn't change. You just,
you know,
it's almost like murder is more forgivable in some instances than rape, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So besides,
there's never a reason.
Yeah. Besides that, what's another big case that you busted or something that was crazy that's happened to you while you've been bounty hunting?
Well, I mean, that's when my kids are like, Dad, tell us another story. You know what I mean? Stories, you know, some of them are unbelievable, but I mean, as far as big name. I mean, to me, in different states, some of these people that were the biggest, you know, wanted people at the time, you know, the state's number one, you know what I mean? But just, you know, in my 5,000 arrests that I've done, you know, the murderers and the rapists, there's got to at least be well over 1,500. You know, just those crimes right there, you know?
Golly.
You know, I've had some pretty good stories. Like I did one in Vegas where, you know, in Vegas, I can't go just do it by myself because I'm not licensed out there. I have to hire somebody. So if my guy goes to Vegas, I got to hire bounty hunters out there. I had $100,000 bond jump out there that I told these bounty hunters out there. I'm like, listen, it's $100,000 bond. The normal fee to pay you guys would be 10 grand. I'm like, but I ain't got 10 grand to pay you. I can pay you and a couple of you guys $500 a piece if you want to help me. If not, let me know now and I'll look elsewhere because I'll find someone to help me out here. I'm not paying no 10 grand to get this guy picked up because I don't have 10 grand and my co-signers are flaking on me. So anyways, they all agreed to come out and I meet these bounty hunters and they look just like cops. The only thing different from them and the way a cop would look is theirs says bounty agent, you know what I mean? Or fugitive agent, you know what I mean? Or bounty surety agent. And I got on my blue jeans, a tank top, and I got my handcuffs in my back pocket, you know? And I had my brother Jason was out there. He's from California. He met me out there. And anyway, so I met all these bounty hunters and they're like, man, we're so privileged to meet you. You're the reason I got into bounty hunting and all of this, your show and all of this. And I'm like, right on. And anyways, I said my guy's at the house. I just got a call. He's upstairs, right? Somebody was supposed to be there to open the door for us and let us in, but they called and said they're not going to be there, but my guy is definitely there. He's upstairs. This is 100 grand. I had 1 week left to catch this guy. I'm sweating it out, right? Anyway, so I told my guys, listen, the guy, when the cops went to get him, he had a gun. He drew his gun. The cops had to draw down. He reached for his gun on the couch. So I just want you guys to know. So I said, when we hit this house, we already scoped it out. I said, I want that big old plate front window coming out. I want the door coming at the same time. I want a lot of noise, a lot of noise, right? So when we hit the house, just like that, we took out that front window, a lot of glass, we hit that front door at the same time, and we're all yelling, freeze, freeze. Well, it's a two-story condo, and downstairs there's a kitchen, a bathroom, a front room, a closet, and then there's stairs that go upstairs. Well, all three of these guys, I call them Huey, Dewey, and Louie, all ran upstairs, right? Because we heard the guy was upstairs. I'm not just going to run upstairs without looking in the kitchen or in the bathroom thinking that the guy could have been there. We're all upstairs while the guy just ran out the kitchen, out the front door, right? So I look in the kitchen. I look, the guy's not downstairs. So I go upstairs, and these guys have already tore apart the two rooms, the bathroom, and the guys in the hallway telling me, this is a setup. We've been set up. We're all going to get sued. This whole thing's a setup, man. And he tells this guy, get out of the house now. And they all run down the stairs and run out of the house. And I'm standing up there in the hallway looking around like, there's no way my informant was wrong. There's no way. So I go in the one room and I'm looking around and the closet and everything's all messed up. Beds turned upside down and stuff. He's not in there. He's not in the bathroom. One other room, I go in there, same thing. Everything's turned upside down. I go to look in the closet. It's got steel doors and it's only open like this much on each side. They're sliding doors, right? And I go to slide it open and it's stuck. They're both stuck. And I look in the bottom of it's dented in. And I'm thinking, someone hopped in here quick. You know what I mean? So I rip these doors right off their hinges, right? And I throw them on the bed behind me. And there's just a pile of clothes, right? I start taking clothes off the ground. Sure enough, I see about this much of a hairy leg with a rooster tattoo, right? I step back like I got a gun or something, right? And I start yelling, let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. You know, if you've watched the show, you see how loud I am, right?
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, here come Huey, Dewey, and Louie back up them stairs. You know what I mean? Hands drawn and everything, right? Right? So I got the guy tased him. I tased him because he's not compliant. I'm telling him, let me see your hands. He's not moving. So I tased him because I don't know if that guy's got a gun under there or what, you know? Finally, it comes out. We get him out of there. We bring him downstairs. I told them, guys, if I was running a bounty hunting course and you guys signed up, and this was the finishing course. You guys just went through 9 months of training. This was the finishing course. None of you passed. As a matter of fact, you all just got sued by whoever owns this place because your fugitive's gone, and they're going to come say you just busted in their house for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's breaking and entering.
Dang, that's crazy.
You can't make those kind of mistakes. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it was, you know. And then, believe it or not, those three bounty hunters complained to my insurance company that I worked for, and I have what's called a BUF, which is money that builds up over years and years. Every time I write a bond, money goes into that fund. It's my money, but it's in my name and my insurance company's name. In case I mess up and they got to pay money, they've got money in an account. Huey, Dewey, and Louie went to my insurance company, filed a complaint, and my insurance company paid them $9,000.
Golly.
Bounty.
Wow.
Yeah, I quit working for the insurance company, which I felt bad because it was a longtime friend. You know, I loved Gary, but he wasn't running the company anymore. He had other people running it, and they were doing it behind his back. It was just messed up. But that was a good bounty there. You know what I mean? That was exciting, thrilling.
Oh, you know?
Stuff like that gets your blood going. You don't sleep. You don't plan on going to sleep at 11 o'clock at night that night. Your adrenaline will not come down for a day and a half after something like that.
Oh, yeah. So I know, like, from, you know, doing time, like I did 10 years in prison, you know, from being a felon and, you know, looking at officers and looking at like bail bonds and all that, you know, like you've been behind the wall and stuff like that. And you've done this kind of work for a long time. Like, what motivates you to do this kind of work? Like, because some people would say, oh, you just want to throw people in jail, but like deep down, like why would you want to do this kind of work and like what motivates you?
Well, truthfully, helping people out motivates me. You know what I mean? But I mean, I dropped out of school and I wouldn't recommend this if any kids are listening, but I dropped out of school in the 9th grade to do bail bonds. You know what I mean? Really 8 and a half, almost at 9. You know, and I mean, that always kind of motivated me because I didn't have any other skills and it was a family business. And I learned that writing bail bonds was really good money. I remember my teachers telling me crime doesn't pay. You know what I mean? I found that little niche in the system where crime can pay, not just but to a bondsman too. You know what I mean? But to be able to get these people out of jail and tell them, listen, man, and be able to talk to them and tell them, listen, what is motivating you to do this crap? Why are you getting high? You got 2 kids. You got a wife that loves you. She's out working her ass off every day. And you're still, you know what I mean? I kind of interested in how people's mind work and what I can do to make a change, which I've done a lot of. And I realized early on, I can make a change. I can talk to these people. I can become friends. I can check in and say, man, how you doing, man? If you need anything, call me. If you're having a rough time, whatever, call me, man. If I can talk to you and help you through it, I will. You know, and just because I am the living, here I am. I should have failed. By all rights, I should have failed. I came from an abused family. My dad beat the crap out of me. I ran away when I was 13 to go live with my mom. My mom, I love her to death, but she had to go work and was never home. So basically, I was on my own at 13. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I started weed. I started drinking at 14. You know what I mean? I didn't want to go to school no more. I should have failed. In fact, when I was in school, my teacher used to, in seventh grade, my teacher would tell the other kids, do you guys want to end up like Tim? And all the kids would turn and look at me. And I'm turning, looking, hoping there's another Tim in the class. I realize I'm in the last row, right? You know what I mean? So, see, I should have failed by all means. But I got lucky through bail bonds and learning something. I don't think that it was luck anymore. I always used to say I got lucky in the bail bonds. I look at it now as it was my fate. It was what I was supposed to go through, what I was supposed to go through as a kid to be who I am now.
That's right.
I mean, one of the biggest things I'd love to do is be able to go and speak to kids and change lives and do a lot. And I've had opportunities, you know. It's just, I don't know, being in that public light, I really just didn't like it. I didn't care for it. I like my privacy. Mm-hmm. You know, to go somewhere and just be me.
Oh, yeah. And it's probably hard doing in the show to have that privacy.
I mean, I still get recognized a lot of places, even though I cut off my ponytail. I'm 15 years older. You know what I mean? I still get noticed all the time. But, which I don't mind. You know, I smile. I take pictures. Hey, kids, they have trouble. You know what I mean? Everything like that, right? Because why am I going to ruin some kid's dream? I remember when I was younger and in California running into Jan Michael Vincent. You know what I mean? He's a Hollywood star. He did Hooper and all of that kind of stuff. And it's right after, I think, the movie Hooper came out with Burt Reynolds. And I couldn't believe it. And I was just starstruck. You know what I mean? I always remember that. I followed him to a phone booth and asked him for his autograph. He kind of looked around, gave it to me. You know what I mean? But I always remember how I felt. And how other people are going to feel, you know what I mean? Hey, can I, even because sometimes you just ain't in the mood. Maybe you just fought with a lady or had a bad day or, you know what I mean? And you don't want to sit there and smile and take a picture and talk to somebody for 15 minutes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But anyways, you smile and you do it anyways.
Yep.
Because that's somebody's dream. That's somebody's experience right there that you can't crush.
That's and right. We talked about that before we hit the record button. Sometimes, mm-hmm. And I love doing the show. In fact, today I went and got my coffee today and the little girl behind the counter is like, hold on, you're on that show. And I was like, yeah, but it is nice every now and again. Don't get me wrong. And I think the three of us, especially, I'll stop in a heartbeat and, hey, how you doing? But it is nice just to be able to go somewhere, get, you know, but I mean, I guess like you, Tim, we've just accepted the fact that life isn't going to be the same after being featured on A&E. I mean,
I use it as an excuse, though. Like my sister asked me to do something for her earlier, and I was like, I can't. I'm incredibly famous. I can't do that for you today. I'm too famous.
Who filmed? David Hout.
Who?
David Hout from A&E. Did he have anything to do with any of your
No.
film?
No. No,
we're actually contractually not allowed to say the names of any of our producers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but you know, it was a different company that actually did the filming, and then they go to A&E. Probably for y'all, it was the same thing. It wasn't A&E per se. It was a different company that did all that.
A&E featured it, but a production company filmed it. But we became closer with the production company people, and then we only met A&E people like one day, 2 days.
Yeah,
I'm still like, having
yeah, it. Probably was. I think David probably was a production company, but yeah, we met all the people from A&E and
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it was
really nice.
It was a neat experience, and I'll be forever grateful to A&E and the production company and the casting company, because I know you guys keep tabs on us because you want to know what your people are doing. I'll be forever grateful for you to even allow me onto a show. I'm sure there were millions of other people you could have chosen, and I appreciate it, but it is just a weird experience all around. And Especially like when you do training and or when you're they're talking to you and they're doing your interview and you're sitting here talking just like this. If you notice, our videos are unedited. We just go as is. But they'll say something. They'll be okay. Now say it a different way, but say it this way. Okay. Now say it this way. Okay. Yeah.
You know, we told them the only way that we would film our show is if they were flies on the wall. Because what we do is dangerous in any game, and we're not going to act or anything, nothing like that. I mean, we may have all walked out of the office all at the same time together, or maybe they told me to put the picture up in the window, you know, one more time. But as far as on the phones, capturing people, setting up everything, all of that, they had nothing to do with none of that. They just sat back and watched.
It was like that once we got into the jail. So prior to going to jail, there was a lot of, we want to film you walking down this sidewalk. And like, okay, I'll walk down the sidewalk. And, which was very weird because I am not an actor. Mark's not an actor. We're just kind of, we did the thing and then we went back to our regular jobs for like, you know, we don't make millions of dollars. And it's, so we walk down the street, we get into the jail. And then at that point, we don't, it's on us. Like they cannot give you any direction. It's real people. It's a real jail. It's a real facility. The show's real. And then once you get out again, they're like, okay, sit down here and I'll tell us about how this moment made you feel. We'll explain more on this. And you're just like, I don't know.
You make some good friends in jail, some real people in there.
They're real people.
When you're in jail like that, it's your true feelings come out. Your real feelings come out. You know what I mean?
You can go into 60 days in thinking you're some actor and that this is going to be your big break. But I promise you, the moment that those doors close behind you, whoever you truly are as a person is going to shine. You could think you are the next James Dean, but you are not an actor in there. You are whoever you are.
A lot of people say that you know, you'll eventually forget about the cameras being there. I never forgot, but they're filming you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 60 days. So you're going to at some point revert to, okay, this is who I really am. So, and I don't know how much of a break you guys got from cameras. I'm sure you guys, you know, they would come film maybe your home scene or whatever. And then they'd be like, okay, we'll see you tomorrow type stuff. But yeah, I know in our cases, it's 24/7 and they're going to catch how you really are. But
well, I would think going to jail for anybody is going to bring out their animal instincts. You know what I mean? Who you are, I don't care. You sit in jail for a while, your animal instincts, that survival instincts are going to come out.
Oh, yeah.
One thing that was really weird is, and I don't think anyone knows this. This is the first time I've actually shared it, is walking around with Josh in the pod. Is he's going around drawing swastikas on tables and stuff and acting like I'm okay with that. And it was just weird. But I don't know. That was just some weird story I figured I'd share.
But that's what jail is, though. Jail is separated by race, ethnicity, and you know what I mean? It's separated.
You know, for you guys.
Mexico, what gang you in? You know what I mean? You freaking support Hitler. I mean, it's like, you know, there's nothing normal inside jail.
No, nothing normal.
The women are very different because on the women's side, there's no race, there's no gangs or anything like that. It's families. Like, you develop a family unit based on...
soft on the women's side, soft, and you know what I mean,
they want to touch, like women will want to touch you and nurture you, but it's very mentally challenging because it can be vindictive. And then like being ostracized, like on the men's side you could have a fist fight and then at night sit down and have dinner at the same table, but on the women's side it's like if you do something to piss somebody off, the trustees won't give you your trays. You won't get to shower. You won't have anyone to speak with. You won't have any friends. And it's a mind. I can't say the word I want to say. It's like mind and then F word, but it's like, it's a complete mind blowing experience. Like it messes with your mental health so bad, the way that the women treat each other. Like it's so weird.
then have to deal with on the outside.
Bless your hearts. I'm going to pray for you all a little bit harder tonight.
Same thing. I mean, we've got to deal with women that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, Tim Chapman, I think this is a great stopping point. We don't want to take up too much of your time today, and we are at about 45 minutes.
Oh, wow, so, that flew by.
Yeah, and it was a great 45 minutes, too.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, we appreciate you, man.
If you ever, ever say I'm going to tell the full Andrew Luster story, remember us, because this will be the place you can do it on. But
we would love to have you back if you would like to.
Yeah.
No, maybe I'll talk to Leland, see if I get Leland to come on here for a little bit.
Hey, that'd be awesome.
If y'all ever want to sit down and tell the story, we'll be quiet and we'll just we'll give you all the expressions you want. We are ready.
Well, thank you so much, guys. No, Youngblood, Tim Chapman, Dog the Bounty Hunter. If you know, even though he's kind of stepped back into private life, watch him. You'll know who it is. You know, I was actually just telling you earlier, I went back and watched some of the seasons recently, and it doesn't seem like it was that long ago until you watch it, and you're like, man, that footage looks old now, but it is what it is. That's what happens. Thank you so much. If you like the channel, once again, make sure to subscribe, like, and all that good stuff. I think we went ahead and left.
Oh, there he is.
Okay.
My daughter was calling up there. Sorry.
It's all good. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share. Join the discussion in the comments below. We love you guys. If you want to support us, patreon.com, patreon.com/AFBP. And now that we are looking at
the table.
In Tim Chapman's garage. We're going to talk to y'all later. All right, guys. Bring it in.